are away. Elizabeth has been in Denver. Jeff has been at the pastor's conference out in California, Costa Mesa, California. And I'm sure that that's been a blessed time of relaxing and hearing the word and just the Lord being able to input into his life. And so continue your prayers for them. I know it's been Elizabeth was really looking forward to going and seeing Christine and baby Nicholas. And what a blessing that's been for them. So you can continue to pray for them, that the Lord would just work in their hearts and their lives and draw them to himself in a fresh way. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. We're excited to know that you speak to us, Lord. You speak to our hearts as we have that teachable and that soft heart before you. And so, Lord, we pray that as your word is ministered this morning, it's really not about what I say. It's not about what I think. It's not about any man or any idea. But Lord, we desire for the living God to speak into our hearts and our lives this morning. So Lord, we submit to you. And we do pray just as that song says, Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, wanting you to fill, wanting to grow, wanting to be taken to a place of realizing who you are and how great you are and how much we are in need of your grace, your mercy, and your love. So Lord, this morning we pray that you just lead us, guide us, and we thank you that you are here in this place, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, this morning we are going to be looking at several different passages of Scripture, but I wanted to talk to you about discipleship, or a disciple. When you think of a disciple, probably your first thought is the 12, right? That's where we go in our hearts and in our minds when we think of a disciple or discipleship. And that's a great model, and that's the model that the Lord has given to us. There were 12 disciples that Jesus inputted into their lives as he was here for 3.5 years on this earth, and he gave us a real great model for what a disciple is and how we can, as his people, his disciples, how we can actually disciple others and how we can input into people's lives, encourage the growth of people around us. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at three areas where we grow in. But I just wanted to talk about just the definition of a disciple. You know, the world's definition, when you look on in a a dictionary or something like that, one who embraces and assists in spreading the teachings of another. That's what I found out there. The biblical definition goes a little bit further, though. And it goes not just into that place of learning or teaching, but it goes to an idea of, that is attached to it, that the person that is in discipleship or is a disciple, that person is intimately involved with the teacher, or they're attached to the teacher. They become a follower of the doctrine or the teaching. And not just that, but the conduct of that person that they are a disciple of. So in our hearts and our lives, that really has a lot of, there is a lot that we can draw from that kind of an idea. Discipleship just isn't just a recognition of a teaching or a group of ideas, but there's a connection there between the disciple and the discipler. And that's kind of where we're going to, where the main meat of what we're talking about this morning will be. But, one of the other things that you might think about when you think of a disciple is just growth. A disciple is somebody who is going to be growing. And, I can look out across the congregation and we all are in different places in our lives, aren't we? I mean, all of us, we are in different places. We are different in our ages. We're different in the ways that we process things, that we look at the world, the knowledge that we've gained, and there's a growth process in all of our lives. Well, the same is true spiritually in our lives. There is a different, we are all at different places in our growth spiritually in our lives. There may be some people here that have never really trusted in Christ. There may be people that have know Christ and have had some kind of an experience in the church or in their family situation. They know God, but maybe they've never made that step to really know who Christ is, to experience who Christ is. You know, there are those of us that have been walking with the Lord for many years, and there's a growth that's there. You know, you never stop that process of growing. That just doesn't happen. We should have, the heart of a disciple is a heart of growth, of growing, of, and that term there, the Bible, in the Bible, if you look it up, you can see that it is an enlarging. And the image that popped into my mind as I was thinking about that, you know, is peaches. Don't you love peaches? They're awesome, aren't they? Especially the big ones. You know, the big juicy ones. Those are the kind that we really, really like. When Brenda was, my wife Brenda, when she was trying to find a job here, she was just out of college. She was looking for a physical therapy job, and she had some offers from different places. One, I think, was on the Front Range somewhere, and the other one was here in Grand Junction, which is really a wonderful coincidence because that's where I ended up meeting up with her again. So it just wasn't about her job. The Lord had other things going on underneath the surface that she had no idea. But she made her decision on the peaches of Palisade. That's what she made her decision on. And also the globe willows, I'll throw that in too. She loved to come through Palisade, and you see in the springtime all of those, you know, those big mounds of leaves and greenness in the globe willows. But then the peach orchards, and they're awesome. If you have ever had a peach during the winter, aren't those nasty? I mean, they're dry, they're mealy, you bite into them, and you go, why in the world did I spend the money on these things? No, we want the ones that are enlarged, that are engorged with juice. You know, the ones that just, you bite into and they just, the stuff just flows down your face. Those are the good peaches. You know, if we think about that analogy, we could really apply that to our lives as Christians as well. It's not just about being a Christian, but it's about being an enlarged Christian. And I'm not talking about just the knowledge that comes from, you know, knowing the Bible, but that juicy goodness that comes from knowing who Jesus Christ is. That's the heart of a disciple. It's not just knowledge and up here, but it's the juiciness that comes out and gets all over. You know how it is. You know, it gets in your, well, if you're a woman, you don't have a beard, hopefully. But I do. I woke up this morning and I had some stuff right here and I was going, where did that come from? You know, I hadn't eaten a peach or anything like that. But you know what I'm talking about. It just gets all over you. And that's really the heart of the Lord. And I believe that that's the way it was with Jesus when he was with his disciples. He was there with them and it got all over. I think that's why in John chapter 14, when he says, no, I'm going and I'm going to die. And they just lost it. Scared, fearful, where are you going? They had been with him for 3 years, and all of a sudden, he is being pulled out from their lives and all. I think that he just got all over them. He was all over them. He was someone that they looked up to. They wanted to imitate. They wanted to be with him. That's the heart of a disciple. That's the heart of a disciple. And you know, we can grow in a couple of different ways. Let's look at Ephesians 2, verse 21. We'll look at that verse, and then these have to do with the corporate growing that we have. Because we grow together as God's children. Here, in the house of the Lord. That's what we're doing here. Hopefully, that you're grabbing on to something that the Spirit is speaking into your life personally. That you're going to grab onto, and you're not just going to say, well, that was a great message, but the Holy Spirit convicted me. I heard the voice of the Lord this morning. That's what corporate, us coming together, that's what this church service is all about. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, gives us that corporate picture. In whom the whole building, he's talking about Christ being the cornerstone. We are the building. Being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. There's that growing, that we would grow into a building that the Lord can dwell in and that the Lord is known by. Ephesians 4:15. but speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things unto him who is the head, Christ. That whole passage there is talking about the corporate nature of the church and how, you know, there have been gifts given to the body for the equipping of the saints, that we would grow, we would be enlarged, that we would be fat and juicy in the Lord. And then Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. And it says, and not holding fast to the, let's go up to verse 18. Let no one cheat you from your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments grows with the increase that is from God. That's God's heart for us corporately as a church, that we would grow, that we would be enlarged, that we would increase in the Lord. And then also there's that personal growth that happens in our lives. Colossians 1:10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing, that's the same word, that you would be growing in the knowledge of God personally in your life. 2 Peter 3:18. Second Peter 3:18 gives us another picture, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So there's this growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And then finally, 1 Peter 2:2. You know, we're to lay aside all malice. Verse 1 says there, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. As newborn babes, desire that pure milk of the word, that you grow thereby. And indeed, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. There's that growth that happens as we are in his word. There's that desire to grow and to be, and that reminds me of my kids. How many of you have a wall in your house that has all of the, you know, all of the stages of your kids' growth? We do, in our kitchen. It's right there. We wrote every time that they, you know, they'd say, Daddy, Daddy, measure me. You've all heard that, haven't you? Yeah, so you line them up there, and you line them all up, and you can see just this ladder of how they've grown through life and through all these different stages. Now Jesse is taller than I am. You know, he reached 6 foot, which I always wanted to be 6 foot, but he made it, and I'm glad for him. That's awesome. But you know what? That is, kids, they want to grow, don't they? They really want to grow. They want to be bigger. They want to be stronger. They want to be like dad. They want to be like mom. They want to grow. Somehow they know that they're not quite what they should be. Isn't that interesting? They know that. You don't have to teach them that. They just know it intrinsically. And as we are Christians, that's what we need. We need that kind of a heart of growing, knowing that, no, I have not made it yet. I want to grow. You know, I saw a little boy this last Friday night at McDonald's. We were getting a hot fudge sundae there. And the little guy looked exactly like his dad. Have you seen people? I mean, he had the shorts, the athletic shorts, you know, and they were kind of put the same way dad's was. You know, he had the cap on. The sports shirt, you know, and he's hanging out just like, hey, the flip-flops, you know, he's standing like his dad, he looks like his dad. And I was thinking, you know, what a neat thing. Something that's built into us as people is we want to grow. We want to change. We want to be like something. And, you know, in our Christian life, you know, our target is the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would grow. And that's the heart of a disciple. The first way that a disciple wants to grow and needs to grow, or the place that we grow out of, the first thing that has to happen in our lives as a disciple is, you know, we have to respond to the gospel, don't we? That's where it starts. Discipleship doesn't start with knowledge necessarily, because there's a lot of people that have a lot of knowledge about the Word of God. There's a lot of people that have a lot of knowledge, and they've never, ever surrendered, and they've never given their heart and their life to the Lord. It doesn't start there with knowledge. It starts with a surrendering. That's what has to happen alongside. I shouldn't say, you know, there has to be some knowledge of Christ. You know, creation is there. There's the Word of God, but then there has to be a surrender along with the knowledge. There has to be that heart that is broken before the Lord. There has to be repentance. And that's what, you know, we see. John Baptist, that's the way he started his ministry. He started out preparing the way for Christ to come. And it was a baptism of repentance, that softness of heart, letting go of who I am. I love that song that they sang. I give you my heart, because that's the core heart attitude of a disciple. A disciple is one who wants to give their heart to the Lord, or to, you know, in our case, we're talking about being a disciple of Christ, to Jesus Christ. That's, we surrender. We have a heart of surrender. And so the gospel is the place that we have to start. And at this point, I was going to play a video, but didn't work out, so sorry. Because you know what? We've heard, you know what? If you've been in church for any period of time, you've heard what the gospel is. And what I really wanted to do was I wanted to bring in a different way that would be memorable for you. And also something that you could send. So on YouTube, there was this video that Living Water did, The Way of the Master. And it's a great little cartoon. And it talks about the gospel and the steps of the gospel and how a person is changed. That dealing with a heart that is in our society today that, oh, I'm a nice guy. I'll go to heaven. You know? That kind of a heart that is within the world today and in our culture. People think that just because they're nice that they're going to go to heaven. No. There's a surrender. There is a surrender to somebody who is greater than you, that you give your affections, you give your passions, you see change in your life because of what you do. And you know what? You know, the classic passage for the gospel is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, Paul was saying this, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you were saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12, and he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. Now, I mean, that's a simple couple of verses that really give us the gospel in a nutshell. That Jesus lived, that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again, and that people saw him and confirmed what God had done through Jesus and the life of Jesus. So, you know what? That's a little nutshell. You want to get more involved in the gospel? You go to the book of John, you go to the book of Mark, you go to the four gospels, and you see the specifics of how Jesus lived. And that's basically what the gospel is. It's his life, the good news of Jesus' life. And so, you know, that is where it has to start. The heart has got to be surrendered and submitted to the gospel, to the working of God in a person's life. Romans 1:16 says that the gospel is the power of God to salvation. That's how we're saved. It's through the gospel. And that's where the beginning work has to happen in the heart of a disciple. The gospel has to be prominent there. And for any change to happen in our lives, there has to be that dependence upon the gospel, the living gospel. Because the life of Jesus just is not, and that's the amazing thing. We celebrate Easter every year. Jesus is not dead. He is alive and working. His living life is working right now in who we are. And that's an exciting thing. It's not just dead religion, but there is life in what we are doing here. So In order for us to move on, there has to be the gospel and the power of the gospel working in our hearts and in our lives. Philippians, we're going to move into talking about the first point of a disciple. What does a disciple grow in? Well, once you're a disciple, you need to grow in knowledge. Knowledge of God. Growing in Him. Philippians 3:10. This is an amazing verse, and you could spend a lot of time meditating and praying over this verse and really allowing the Lord to do a deep work in your heart. This verse is easily glanced over by us, has been in my life at times, because there's a depth to it that we don't really like. Philippians 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. This is Paul's heart. You know, we could look through the Gospels, and we have been. It's been awesome. Kind of what I was thinking when I was praying about what I should share, I really wanted to share something that kind of was in line with what Jeff has been teaching through the book of Acts. And we have been seeing, haven't we? The power of God displayed through his disciples. That's what Acts is about. The Holy Spirit being displayed through the disciples of Jesus Christ. And so, here is one of those guys. And we're coming up to the life of Paul. We're coming up on these chapters that define Paul. And his great sacrifice and his great love for God and for the church. And so this is his statement here that he'd made to the Philippian church. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. That's the heart of a disciple. You know what? I would really encourage you guys, to take some time and really pray over this verse and really study it out. You know, does your life line up with that? Is that what you want in your life? You know, it doesn't matter where you've been, how long you've been a Christian, how long you have been in the church. This has great application to every single one of us, that our desire would be to know him, to know him. And this is the depth of the knowledge that Paul desires here. Is really interesting. The power of his resurrection. He wants to know that explosive power of the life of Christ in his life, through his life. One of the exciting things that we get to look into is the book of Acts, because we see the explosive quality of Paul's life. He was not daunted by what man thought or what man brought up against him, but there was this life in him, this desire to follow after the Lord, to give everything. And then, he says, and the fellowship of his sufferings. And, that is a real contrast, isn't it, in our hearts and our minds, the fellowship of his sufferings. That we would actually want to live in that place and know the Lord through, that we could even know the Lord through suffering. It seems not right. And I've had people say that to me before, and you probably have too. If God loves us, why is there suffering in the world? Why do I feel this way? No. God has a purpose in all things that happen. He is working within the midst of our lives. And if we will have our eyes turned to him, we'll see that there is a purpose in the things that we go through. There's a purpose in suffering. There is a purpose in those times where we feel not so good, not so alive, not so special. Paul's sufferings, if we look at the picture of Paul and his life, it was for the gospel's sake. That's why he suffered. He was given the gospel. And that's a challenge to us as Christians there. Wasn't just the trials of life necessarily, but he was out there actively walking. Actively putting himself out there, putting his, the gospel out there. And within that suffering, he knew Christ in a deeper way. And I think that, you know, if we will do that and be obedient to the Lord in those things that he's calling us to, if we will have that mouth and that life that looks like Christ, we're looking for opportunities to say a word to someone, to give them, you know, encouragement in the Lord or give them the truth of the gospel, you know what, we're going to see that there's a fellowship in that. I don't know if you've ever shared the Lord with anybody, but, you know, there's something that happens in your heart and your life when you do. When you just step out of your comfort zone, when you just step out in faith and you start to share. Oh, this is who Jesus is. This may be what the world says, but this is Jesus. This is who God is. You know, there's a life that comes from that. And we need that in our hearts and our lives to share with others the gospel. And then being conformed to his death. You know, this little list, it kind of, you know, you think, yeah, I want to know God. Yeah, I want to have life in my life. I want the power of the resurrection. I'm not really sure I want the fellowship of sufferings, but I really don't want to be conformed to his death. You know, that's an interesting statement there, being molded or shaped into his death, in his likeness. And I think that that has a lot of application to our life where we are. Doesn't matter where we are in our Christian walk with the Lord. This is where God really wants to sow into our hearts and into our lives, that we would have that willingness to conform. That is the heart of a disciple, conforming, growing, conforming, changing. That we would be conformed into the image of his death. And that's something that we don't like. And I think that it's much deeper than just physical death. That would be an easy definition, and we could say, you know, in our persecution or whatever. But I think that there's more to it there. You know, what did Jesus say was the primary characteristic of a disciple? Deny yourself and follow after me. That's what he said, denying yourself. And that really is the biblical picture of the death that we as Christians are experiencing. We are experiencing a denying of self. Day by day, moment by moment, there is a denying of self. That's the death that I believe Paul is talking about here. It's a death to self. It's a death to my desires. It's a death to my passions. It's a death to my will, but allowing the will of the Lord to be expressed through this body. Romans 12. You know, that is a great picture, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. That is the death that God is calling us to. It may also be a physical death at some point. Who knows? It was for Paul. He ended up being killed for, you know, his faith and for all the things that he said and did. You know, many of the disciples did. I think all of them except for John. The Apostle John. So, you know, being a disciple is that letting go, surrendering, giving all for the Lord. So, you know, there's a growing in that though. There's a growing as we step out in faith and we trust the Lord and we are obedient to his calling in our life for the different situations that we're in. Now, let's move on here to an idea here. There's a couple different ideas and words that are used for to know God. One is ginosko. And that idea is that you would know through experience. It's more of an experiential knowledge than it is just an intuitive knowledge or based on, you know, what you see. The other word there is oida, and it is to know by intuition or to know by perception or seeing something. Now, ginosko is that kind of experience that we really want to have. And to illustrate that, you know, there's a lot of different ways that we can illustrate that. I could say, you know, I recognize a person. I could say, I recognize my dad. He's sitting over there. You know, I see him. And you could say that too. Oh, that's Aaron's dad. I've seen him before. But, you know, when I say that I know my dad, there's a whole lot of history there. I know him in a whole different way than you guys do. You might be able to recognize who he is, but I know him, and I know the things that he says and does. You know, I could probably recognize his voice if I heard it across the mall, ringing out, or his laugh. I could recognize his personality. The things that he could do. I could recognize his handwriting. There's all kinds of things that I can recognize because I have a deeper knowledge of who he is than you do. That deeper knowledge there and that kind of a relationship is that relationship that the Lord wants us to have with him. That we would know him. That we would know him. And, you know, it's interesting. When you come across a verse that talks about knowing God, like this verse does here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that you may know him, that isn't just a recognition. That's not just a recognition. That is ginosko, that is an experiential knowledge of who God is, that you experience him in your life, day by day, moment by moment, that you are experiencing him. An interesting verse is John 7, 23, if you want to turn there. And I just kind of throw this out because, you know what, that's not right. That is not the right verse. Oh my goodness. Let's see here. Oh, 23, yeah. That is not the verse, okay? That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. No. What was that? John 17:23? It might be... you may be... Yeah, that has the word no, but you know what? That's not the one. I could look here real quick and see if that's the word. It doesn't really have... No, I won't. I was going to look on my Bible here. But I won't do that. Look up the Greek word. You know what? It was. It really is. Doesn't make that much consequence. But you know, contrasting those two ideas of knowing him by recognition and knowing him by experience. You know, a while back I had some problems with my engine, and I was listening to it. I couldn't really tell what was wrong. It was something with intake or something. I don't know. I'm not a mechanic. Not very good at that kind of stuff. I had somebody that is really good at mechanic issues, and he just put his ear down and he said, oh, that's a vacuum tube that's off. Because he was listening and he could hear it. It's either broken or it's off. And I'm like, wow, that guy knows cars. He knows what an engine should sound like. See, there's a whole knowledge there that he knew that I did not have. And you know, God wants us to experience him. He wants our knowledge to be based upon the experience of who he is. One of my favorite verses is John 14, where it talks about when we are obedient to him, that he manifests himself to us. And that is... in John 14, 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. You know what? You're going to experience the Lord as you're obedient to him, as you know his voice. He says in John 10, that the sheep, his sheep, hear my voice and I know them. That's that ginosko. He knows us. He knows his sheep. So the second way that a disciple grows is a disciple grows in character, a desire to love God. And we're going to look at 2 Peter 1:18. In this verse, it shows us that not only are we to walk in faith, trusting God, that's the initial work of salvation, that we would trust God, that we would trust him in our life, trust him with our lives, that we would surrender ourselves and trust him. Not just faith, but there is a growing, and you'll see that there is a growing in the character of the believer. So 1 Peter 1:8, for if these things are yours and abound in you, let's back up to verse 5 there. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's this process that happens in the life of a disciple. We are to be diligently seeking after this kind of growth in not just in our knowledge and in our brains, but in our character, in those character issues of our life, in the deep places of our heart and in our life. There is that affecting that the knowledge goes much deeper. It goes into a place where we are changed. So there's this diligent attitude to seek the Lord. So we are to add to our faith, to that simple trust, virtue. And that's an interesting word if you look that up. It means manliness. So I looked a little further because I thought, you know, that doesn't apply to all of us, manliness. But that idea there of virtue is excellent, being pleasing to God, being pleasing to the Lord, having that pleasing kind of a life. That when the Lord looks at us and he looks at our life, he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter in to the rest that I've prepared for you. That heart of pleasing God. And then knowledge, we are to add to virtue knowledge, that growing in our experiential knowledge of the Lord. And then self-control, that's pretty self-explanatory. You know, being selfless, being controlled in the desires and the passions, submitting those things to the Lord. Having, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, which is, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, coming out of our lives. To self-control, perseverance. And that's an interesting word. It has the idea of a cheerful, hopeful waiting. Cheerfully and hopefully waiting. Endurance. Cheerful, hopeful endurance. Oftentimes we don't really think of patience that way, do we? As something that's cheerful or hopeful. Lord, please. I want to see this happen right now. But, you know, we are to add to our self-control, perseverance, that cheerful, hopeful endurance. And then godliness, a devotion or a piety towards God. Then to that, we are to add brotherly kindness. And that word there is Philadelphia, brotherly love. Brotherly love. We are to add to our godliness. And then it ends there with agape, love, that we would have love. And you know, I think that that's really interesting because when we look at the disciples, we look at their lives and we see that most of them, you know, were persecuted and most of them died. I mean, all of them were persecuted, but most of them died as a result of that persecution. History shows that. John was the one who was not. I mean, he had been persecuted and they tried to kill him, but they couldn't kill him. He was known as the disciple of love. And you can see it written all over 1 John. You can see it written all over John. He wrote John and 1 John and 2 John and 3 John towards the end of his life. He was a man who was mature. He was a disciple that was matured in love. From that place of calling down fire on the Samaritans to a place where he was really loving. When you come to 1 John and you see the things that he wrote, it is amazing. Let's look at just one section there. It's a short little book, but man, it's just packed with loving God. 1 John 4, verse 7. There is going to be this heart in a disciple. This is going to be the heart that I think overwhelms a believer's life. And I know that this is one of the things that I've been praying for in my life as I've grown. Lord, make me somebody who is loving. Make me somebody who is loving. My prayer isn't, Lord, make me more knowledgeable or make me have more knowledge. That comes. You know, as we grow and as we read his word, that comes. But this is what I really want. I want to have a heart that is loving, that is love. Because that's what Jesus was. And you know what? This is what God says here. This is what John wrote to us here in 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Do you see that? Let us love one another, for love is of God. That's what's of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If we're not loving, we really truly don't know who God is. If we're incomplete in the way that we love, we really don't understand who God is. How big he is, how good he is, how loving he is. This is the characteristic that I think that we as disciples should be shooting for. The quality of our life, the character of who we are, it should be love poured out. When the Holy Spirit, when Paul talks in Galatians chapter 5 and he gives us the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it's love. Loving one another. If you look in 1 Corinthians and you look down that list of the qualities of love, stick your name in there. Stick your name in there. Instead of love, insert Aaron. You can insert Aaron if you want. Insert your name in there. And pray and ask the Lord, what are these areas? You know what? Sometimes we as Christians, we get so into all this stuff that we forget that it's very, very simple. The Christian walk is very, very simple. It's about submitting to the Lord and allowing his love to pour out of who we are in whatever form that is, whatever is needed at the moment. And you know, you can't detach love for God from love from people. You can't do it. There's no way. What's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And Jesus tags on there. And to love your neighbor as yourself. He doesn't say number two. He says, and to love your neighbor as yourself. No, these things are attached together. If we really want to know the Lord, if we really want to see his experience who he is in our lives, we're going to love the people that are around us. We're going to love. We're going to bear with them. We're going to love them. We're going to have a heart that is not centered upon me. And we need that discernment and that ability to self-confront ourselves. You know, Paul was that way. He did, and he said, hey, no man needs to judge me. I've judged myself. We need to do that in our lives. Is there love in your life? Is there love? Because that is what the disciple is shooting for. That's what the Lord wants in our lives, is that love. 1 John 13:35. In our relationship to the world, in our conduct, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about discipleship, being a disciple of Christ. We are to love one another. The world is going to know that we are disciples of Christ by the love that we have for one another. That kind of heart that is loving. Let's skip down to the verse here. And I'm running out of time, and I'm kind of getting a little bit flustered. in 2 Peter there. I just really wanted to just bring out in, I think it's verse 8 there. Lost. No. I'm in 1 Peter. There we go. All of those things, those character qualities there that are listed in verses 5 through 7 and then verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these things are increasing in your life, if these kind of qualities are increasing in who you are, you will not be barren. You will not be unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That knowledge there is epigenosko, or epigenosis, which is a more intense expression of the knowledge by experience. It's a more intense expression, and it talks about knowledge that is gained through the participation of the object with the subject. The participation coming together. It's knowledge that's really powerful and that influences the way that a person lives and the way that a person thinks. And it influences a person in their conduct. That's the kind of knowledge. If you have these things, these character issues going on in your life, you're not going to be unfruitful. You're not going to be barren. But your knowledge is going to be increasing in the Lord. And so I just really want to encourage you in that way, that as you grow, it's going to be that desire, Lord, for your character, the inner person, to be growing closer to the picture that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the last point that I just wanted to make was that a disciple also grows in conduct. And Colossians talks about that, that we grow in our conduct. Colossians 3. Twelve through 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, there's a list there in the first part of a character, but you see how quickly that goes into conduct. You know, that is, there's out of our character comes the way that we live. In Romans chapter 6, it talks about presenting our members, you know, talking about our hands, our feet, our eyes, our mouths, as, you know, not as, you know, slaves to unrighteousness, not as slaves to unrighteousness, but slaves to righteousness. That we would present them to the Lord for righteousness, that our conduct would be an example, that it would be a picture of what God, who God is, and what God's heart is for the people around us. Whether it's, you know, in our very close conversations with people, in our very close life with people, or whether it's in those times that we just kind of brush up against people. You know, I was thinking about these things, and I was thinking about how we can really be annoyed by one another, can't we? We can get to a place where we are annoyed with the people that are in our lives. We can get to a place where we just want to just take off and leave. You know, we're in a unique place in the culture and the history of the world, you know, where we can just go, just leave. But you know what? God has more for us when we want to enter into that place of character. Because that's really what rubs us the wrong way oftentimes with people. It's really character. It's really character. Because those are the things that come out. When you get to know somebody and you start to rub shoulders with them and you see, not just on the outside, hey, that's that guy over there. You know, when you really get to know somebody, that's at that point when you go beyond knowledge, you start to experience who they are, you start to experience their personality, you start to experience their character, isn't it? And that can be very, very challenging for us as we walk with the Lord and in the church and in our fellowship. And my hope and my prayer in all of this, that as a disciple, that we wouldn't just be, you know, looking out at one another, but we would be looking at ourselves and allowing the Lord to show us those places in our character that really need, where we need to grow in. We need to be enlarged. We need to be juicy. We need to be enlarged in those areas. Because that's where God wants us to be. He wants us to be in that place where we are loving, where that love is coming out of who we are. And so that's my prayer this morning. I pray that the Lord would just really take what these scriptures, I know that there are a lot of them, and really this is all meant for encouragement and edification, that you would be encouraged in the Lord this morning, that you would be encouraged to spend time with him in knowing him. Not just in learning, but really knowing him and experiencing. That you would be encouraged in obedience, that you would step out and serve him. That you would be that person, that disciple that really gives their heart and their life, really gives to the Lord and to those that are around you. And so we're gonna pray right now, and we'll end in a song here.